Club discussion. We will discuss The Plot Against America by Philip Roth, published in 2004. The book imagines an alternate reality of history where instead of Franklin D. Roosevelt winning the presidential election in 1940, the ally of Hitler and anti-Semitic Charles Lindbergh wins instead. In the book, Roth describes the events of what could have happened if such a powerful and influential anti-Semite won the election in 1940. Alright guys, let's start off with saying what all we liked about the story. I'll go first. I personally liked how the author, Philip Roth, used different characters to portray many different anti-Semitic views throughout the story. Cameron, why don't you go?
I liked how Philip Roth wrote the book, putting an emphasis on how anything can happen at any time, even in any circumstances.
And I like how Roth used so much detail to describe the characters and develop them throughout the novel by bringing up things such as their religion and political beliefs.
Alright, so go ahead and start this podcast. Let's just get right into it. So our first question is, how does Philip, being a child, navigate these hardships and anti-Semitism that runs rampant in America?
He likes to engage in a form of escapism with Earl. He follows Christians and observes how normal their lives are compared to his. Since Philip is younger, he struggles to comprehend the anti-Jewish sentiments, often interpreting them through the logic of a kid, often getting confused and lost. On page 114, it says, "Be never to be bothered being a model child. Of late, increasingly irritated by being one myself." Talking about how he was trying to get his mind off and was really excited to do something bad that he knows he shouldn't be doing, but was trying to use that as a way to distract himself.
For our second question of the session is, how does Lindbergh's fictional version of America parallel the actions of Nazi Germany?
I would say in a way the book depicts America's version of Kristallnacht. The government, when under control by Vice President Burton K. Wheeler, controls the press, similar to what the Nazi Party did after the Reichstag fire. Some evidence from this in the book is from page 266. It says, "By nightfall, several hundred of the city's 30,000 Jews have fled and taken refuge across the Detroit River in Windsor, Ontario. And American history had recorded its first large-scale program, one clearly modeled by the spontaneous demonstrations against Germany's Jews known as Kristallnacht." Cameron, do you find anything?
There's another evidence on page 316 where it talks about Hitler arresting anyone who decides to speak against him. And then there's another example on that page where Hitler is arresting any of his political opponents who choose to fight against him and try and overpower him after the Reichstag fire.
Okay, for our third and final question for the session, does Hitler's actions toward Lindbergh absolve Lindbergh of guilt or justify his anti-Semitism?
Well, the technical answer would be no, but since the past diary entries proved he was anti-Semitic regardless, he simply was given another reason to be anti-Semitic. He can also pass on his anti-Semitism to his son he reunited with in the last chapter, as he was raised to be a smaller version of Hitler. This is demonstrated on page 322, whenever it says, "The Lindberghs were at last allowed to visit their child by then a handsome, fair-haired boy of almost 8, who from the day he'd arrived in Germany had been raised as a model Hitler youth." Cole, did you find it?
Yeah, I actually did. It's also mentioned really early in the book on page 14, when it says, "Lindbergh's contention that the Jews' greatest danger to this country lies in their large ownership and influence in our motion pictures, our press, our radio, and our government. When Lindbergh wrote proudly of our inheritance of European blood, when he warned against dilution by foreign races and the infiltration of inferior blood, all phrases that turn up in diary entries from those years." Alright, to end this podcast, let's just say what we learned from the book. Cameron, why don't you go first?
The book taught us the rough life of living as a Jewish American at the time of crisis.
I also liked how the book showed us what it was like to live as an American Jewish family during World War II and some of the struggles they had to go through during the time period.
Okay, I'm just gonna concludes our podcast by saying the book unintentionally riddles the reader with one open-ended question on its last page. What remains of the Roth family? Even though Lindbergh is no longer president at the end of the book, his anti-Semitic actions, justified or not, the impacts of them still remain. The reader has no idea if the Roth family and their American identity and culture end up coexisting and if they ever feel a sense of normalcy again. Thank you for listening, and I hope we can all figure out and answer the open-ended question of what remains of the Roth family.